In the name of Jesus. As pastors, we are at times prone to regret the loss of the third commandment. In the Blue Catechism, it even got popped back in again, but not Philo's and Calvin's second commandment. No backers for that, but for the third. Gotta have the third. If people don't come to church, what sort of Christians are they? And then, what's the use of us, the clergy? And whose side is Jesus on? Sunday's gospel from the three-year series provides the excuse for not going to church. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Lord said it. So why... Why, dear pastor, are you hounding me to go to church? As always, we shan't find our way without the proper distinction between law and gospel. Our text, the Old Testament lesson, is from the recapitulation of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The way to keep it holy is given as no work on Saturday. This is set in contrast with the work as slaves in Egypt. So the Sabbath is to be observed as by a people delivered from bondage, his people, and so holy people, and so holy Sabbath. Holy day as holiday. What fun, and nothing about going to church. There isn't in Exodus either. There the reference is to creation. The Lord rested on the seventh day and enjoyed what he had made. It was very good. So the Sabbath was celebrated as the Lord's day, he as their creator and deliverer. And it was not just for your fathers, but for you. Nothing about going to church. But try and stop them. That's gospel talk. God's gift from him, their creator and deliverer, were acclaimed in the bounce back of praise and homology. Hear, O Israel, I am the Lord your God. You are the Lord our God. You are my people. We are your people. All this glad and grateful gospel way runs on into the New Testament, but not the specified seventh day. There is no observe the Sabbath day in the New Testament, and so then also not in the Small Catechism. Why not? If the Sabbath day is such a good thing? I don't know. Ask the Lord. I only work here. Fact is, the Lord has not given us a specific day for all the good things of the old Sabbath day. That is fact number one. We may subsequently ponder that fact and suggest that why it was that it was so good of the Lord to do as he did. These suggestions, however, as so often in theology, tend to slip into the number one spot, and then we can tell the Lord why he had to do what he did. But then the Lord is at point number two. And a Lord at point number two is a wobbly Lord, as wobbly as the ideas we have imposed on him. No Lord at all. Those who have put themselves at point number one betray the fact by quoting only our Lord's words, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, and do not heed the clincher of the pericope. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. That's the shocker. Only he who gave the Sabbath can deal with it as belonging to him. That is the Lord God himself. That is Jesus. True. Or if not, he's a blasphemer that has to be got rid of. It all hangs on Kyrios Jesus. And that is above every question of the Sabbath. Jesus observed the Sabbath. He mocked the rules added to the Sabbath commandment to make it a work of man and not a gift of God, and pointed to the joy of the gospel gifts from him that cannot be stifled. So, either in the way of gifts or not at all, faith or unbelief. The gifts of the Old Testament Sabbath are not discarded, but overflowingly augmented. They are targeted gifts, targeted to his people, who are only his people as they are given the gifts, and his gifts are given as he has located them for their being given out. Holy ministry, Predigtamt, AC 5, holy baptism, holy absolution, holy communion. These are unprivatizable, do-it-yourself, me and Jesus. And they happen only at a particular time and place. Without a time and a place, they can't happen. Where they happen, the Lord gathers by them his people to give out by them his gifts. Where the means of grace are going on, there are his people. We are his people corporately, together. And that means a certain time and place. Our Lord did not appoint the last day of the week for this. He sent his disciples, his apostles, to deliver the gifts. When invited to preach in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, they did. That only lasted as long as till they were driven out. Evenings were a good time when many had to work 7 days a week. And then, early on the first day of the week, and this is where the church settled. Couldn't imagine a better one. No day, no gifts given out by the Lord having himself his people. Holy Lord, holy people, holy day. You shall sanctify the holy day. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we may not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Gladly rings with the gospel. If not gladly, then not gospel. Dad, do we have to go to church? No, my son, says the gospeled father, but you get to go. Then the extolling of the gifts given out in the liturgy through the means of grace by the Lord to those who are his people, his church, who hear the voice of their shepherd, who gladly hear and learn it. We are always tempted to slip back into the ways of the law. That is to slip out of the way of the gospel, which then we show we are no longer trusting. It needs some help. And applying some law pressure does seem to get results. And then we are on our way back into slavery, marketing and playing entertainer, prostitute. It is only the gospel that frees us from this. It is only the gospel that gives out the saving gifts. That's all you're worth as its servants. That's all going to church is worth. That's all. And we get to go gladly. couldn't live without it. Amen.